Good morning. Welcome to First Baptist Church on this third Sunday of Advent. We're so glad you're here. It's so good to be together. We especially welcome those of you who may be visiting for the first time or for the first time in a while, and we hope that you find yourself at home here. We do invite all of you to find your connection card inside your bulletin and take a moment this morning to fill that out on the front and the back. And during the offering, you can drop that into the plate. You can also find announcements related to congregational life in your bulletin insert. Just a couple that I would like to draw your attention to. One is that this morning, following worship and then our fellowship time, which is downstairs with coffee and refreshments, we hope that you will join us back in the sanctuary at 11:30 for a time of singing carols. You might even have the opportunity to request that we all sing a favorite carol of yours. So let's join in here at 11:30 this morning to sing together. Then, I don't know if you knew this or not, but next week is Christmas Eve and Christmas. It's coming fast. And on Christmas Eve at 7:30, we will have our Festival of Lessons and Carols, a beautiful service, a great service to invite your friends, family, neighbors, Facebook friends, etc. to. And one of the ways we're trying to make that easy for you is that we have little postcard size announcements about the service that you can pick up at the information counter. It's got the web address, which is also in your announcements, where you can get free tickets. You don't have to have a ticket to get into the service, but it does help us know how many people to prepare for, and especially in terms of childcare, how we can be best prepared to welcome people into our building and into our worship service and into our lives. You can read the rest of our congregational announcements at your leisure. And now I invite you to join with me in our responsive call to worship. The heavens are telling the glory of God. Christ comes to rule the world with truth and grace. Come, Lord Jesus.
are able, please stand. Let us pray. Loving and all-powerful God, you have created this world and all in it from the generosity and love you have for us, watching over us when we fall and helping us stand up. We ask that you join us as we pray and sing with happiness and spirituality. We pray through today and all days that we understand you and your message for us. We pray that you teach us to love thy neighbor, knowing it means all neighbors, no matter who they are. We pray that you teach us to take the road of peace instead of violence and hate. We ask you to teach us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Surely God is my saving help. I will trust and not be afraid.
God is my strength and my power. God is my saving help.
Therefore, with joy, you shall draw water from the wells of salvation.
We will say in that day, give thanks to God, proclaim that God's name is exalted.
Sing praises to the Lord, who has done gloriously. Let be known in all the earth.
Shout aloud and sing for joy, for great is the Holy One among us.
Of all beauty, all goodness, and all joy, we have come to praise you, to adore you, to worship you, and to rededicate our lives to you. In the midst of busyness and stress, in the face of anxieties about giving enough and doing enough and making the season special enough, remind us of the truth. You came to us. You come to us. You are enough. And by your power and your love, we are enough too. Give us the joy and peace that only you can give. While we gather this morning to proclaim your light and to experience your joy, we are mindful of the pain and darkness that is the reality for so many. We pray for those who are moving through this season in grief or sorrow, for those who live a daily reality of violence or poverty or both, for those who grapple with depression or addiction or anxiety, and for all who try to bear your light in the darkness. We also pray for those people in our congregation or in our hearts who need your most tender and attentive care. We pray for Peter Beauvais, Jean Evey, Joan and Lynn Blunt, Wilma Duke, Doris George, Bill McKeachy, Juanita Dieterle, Pat Hubel, Iris Martin, Chuck Suits, John Wallace, Anna Kirstein, Peter Mortensen, Saw Nay Lin, Bob Simpson, Liz and Micah Dalton, Robert L., Marissa Alanese. For the Tornillo Tent City, the repose of the soul of Jared Washington, the friends and family of Myra Murray, for the Jones family, John Rice, Rebecca Levinson, the Reminatons, for Joan Stapleton, Elena Flores, Will Burnside, Ron Rowe, for Jim Terrace, Charles, Joshua Cousins, Joyce, Carol, Gloria, Bill, for David, Nee, Fiona, and Tim. And we also offer you our private prayers in silence. Gracious God, in joy and gladness, we lift our hearts to you, in gratitude for your coming to share life with us. Help us to trust your loving care in the midst of our daily struggles. Give us the courage to live as people of joy, because we know your love and grace. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, who taught us how to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
For God so loved the world that he gave his He taught people God's righteousness.
He taught people God's love and to love one another.
He died for the wrongdoings that people had done.
He resurrected from death as he promised.
He lives in us every day.
We are born again in him.
Let us celebrate the birth of Jesus.
Children, that wasn't just beautiful, it was powerful. Thank you so, so much. We listen now to words from the New Testament, words written by Paul to the community of believers in Philippi. Rejoice in the Lord always, and I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will stand guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Be present to us more deeply still by the speaking of your word and by our hearing of it. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. I like our family Christmas card this year just fine, but the words on it were my second choice, not my first. We do the kind where you send a photo to an online company and then you pick from a selection of styles and little greetings that they provide to go with it. Stacy does all the work, of course. But I am invited to help pick out which message will go underneath the picture. And though we liked the one that we settled on, we liked another message a little bit better. Just couldn't go with it because the font was some old loopy cowboy kind of script, which is a pity since the message was perfect. It said, "Rejoice, y'all." I like it because it's how Stacy talks, the Reverend Dr. Georgia Peach. Also, in the present state of the world and of the lives of many of us, "Rejoice, y'all" is a playfully subversive witness to the power of the love that will prevail. And putting those two words together is just plain funny, as rejoice is a stained glass churchy word, and y'all sounds more like bluegrass and grits. Let us rejoice. That's a sermon. Rejoice, y'all. That's welcome to a party. When the Apostle Paul said to his friends, "Rejoice in the Lord always," and again, I say rejoice, you can almost hear the word, y'all. There's nothing churchy about it. Just a human being deeply happy, inviting his friends to be the same and to express it. I do wish we had a different word for it than rejoice. So far as I can tell, nobody uses that word anymore except as a religious term, which is a shame since English has no other way to make joy a verb. In Paul's language, Greek, the word for joy was both a noun and a verb, the very same word, and they used it both ways all the time. So when our Bibles say rejoice, it's really the verb to joy. Wish we could say that, because joy really ought to be a verb. Past tense, when Michigan won, we joyed. Future tense, when Christmas comes, the kids will joy. Present tense, come on, y'all, let's joy. But what's joy, anyway? Is it the same as happiness? No, it is not, though we might call it deep happiness. Plain happiness, it comes and goes, depending mostly on whether or not things are going our way. You get a raise, you're happy. A good time with somebody you love, you're happy. A perfect piece of cheesecake, happy. The only one I've gotten all year. So happy, as we usually use the word, is a visitation of the pleasurable. And when that's over, if circumstances turn against you, what you are is unhappy. You can hear the fickleness in the word itself. Happy, hap, as in it just so happened. Happenstance, haphazard, hapless. Joy is different. Like happiness, it's pleasurable, delightful, exquisite. It just doesn't depend on pleasure or on things going our way at the moment. And in its maturity, joy isn't now you have it, now you don't. Joy is a subterranean river, not always seen or felt, but there just the same. Up on the surface of things comes nasty weather sometimes, struggles, darkness. But beneath the surface, joy remains quietly flowing, deeply nourishing, and in places amazingly springing up, or at very least reachable if you dig down deep enough to reclaim it and drink deep of it again. And I guess it's the digging down to it, the reclaiming of it, that Paul has in mind when he writes to his friends, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice." This man knows something about having to dig down. He's writing from a Roman prison. He is in chains, and he suspects that he may very well be executed soon. The people he's writing to are not only worried sick about him, they are under all kinds of threat of their own. And to these people who are in anguish already, the man in prison writes, "Hey, y'all, let's joy in the Lord always. I'll say it again, joy." Is this man, as we say, in denial? Just can't face the grim facts, pushing the same sick behavior on his friends? In other words, does he sound a little like the holiday season can sound to people who are in pain? All these colorful merriments, music, scenes of happy family. The season advertises gladness and seems to expect it. And how does that work for the grieving, the frightened, the badly treated, the exhausted and discouraged? Merriment? Man, have you been reading the news? Rejoice in the Lord always. Don't you know what so many of us are enduring right now? I think I'll pass. But Paul's invitation to joy puts no one in that kind of position. He himself is suffering. And it's as if he moves to others who are suffering, lays his hand on their shoulder and says, "I know, I know. Still the Lord is near. And beyond our seeing or our feeling, there are reasons for joy that remain, a river of them that flows deep down. Remember them. Give rightful praise for them. Joy can have tears in its eyes. And we can find the courage to our deep gladness." How? Well, in part by letting go of some of the stuff that blocks our way. Paul speaks of it in terms of anxiety. And he is spot on, so far as I'm concerned. For many of us, the great hindrance to our joy is our anxiousness. We can see a world of reasons to be anxious. So much that threatens us, so much uncertainty, so much that we want or we need or that others need, so much that is not right and needs to be made right. And here's the thing. Much of that, maybe most of it, is worth our profound concern and our passion and our commitment to do what we can. But anxiety is a poison. Anxiety paralyzes and chokes the life out of the soul. And it is the greatest enemy of joy. So the text says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with gratefulness, let your requests be made known to God. Uncurl your anxious fingers and let it go into the light that is God's capacity to transform. Do this on the ground of your thankfulness. And then, says the text, then the peace of God that surpasses our understanding will stand guard over your hearts and your minds. A reliable pathway to joy, the emptied hands, the return to gratitude, the committing to God in trust. That's just getting free. And joy is a soul set free. Free, among other things, to make better choices. Free to do some living to our higher, truer, strengthened purpose. Right living is the ratification of joy and the giver of more of it. David Brooks, the New York Times columnist, has written of moral joy. The joy of living according to our best and highest values. The joy of being engaged with a cause greater than ourselves. So when Scripture urges us to rejoice always, it is calling us, among other things, to faithful living. To serving and bearing witness to what is right, which is an expression of joy, and will increase it, not just for us, but for others. Don't be afraid of it. The feeling of joy when it takes us is a powerful thing. It grants us freedoms that might seem overwhelming. It holds out possibilities to us that may seem daunting, and maybe we just don't want to be that glad. It says, look, here's how you can live. Why not live that way? And the poet Mary Oliver is right. If you suddenly and unexpectedly feel joy, don't hesitate. Give in to it. Don't be afraid of its plenty. Joy is not made to be a crumb. What if this were the essence of why we were here? What if joy is not an option for us to take or leave, but our glad obedience to forsake a joyless life, to know that joy is a decision, and it is the life-giving decision, to live in the deep gladness of the children of God. Soon you will hear the story again. You'll hear it on Christmas Eve night if you're here. Or maybe you'll be wise to hear it at home. Of how the angels were in the night sky when one of them said to the shepherds, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy." And though the text doesn't say it, that angel was smiling ear to ear, an arm spread as wide as the sky. And the music that the shepherds heard filling the night, that was the sound of the eternal banquet, its laughter and its song come down. Joy to the world. Always, always ours in God's immeasurable, inexhaustible, astonishing love. The Lord is near. Rejoice. With joy, then, which is our purpose, let us offer our gifts and offer ourselves.
Thank you.
God, take all of our giving and all of our living, lift it to your purpose, and transform it all into light. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Lifted hearts, then, we extend the gift to one another. May the peace of Christ be with you.
Now, dear friends, Christ